This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the morning run with Xiaoning and Chuang. We've got some corporate news lined up for you, but before that, let's take a quick look at Bursa Malaysia.
Yeah, the KLCI is still up marginally this morning to 1,597 points. Three standout counters in terms of movement. Dio Pharma Biotech up 24% to 282. Pharmaniaga up by 25% to 438. Obviously, the beneficiaries potentially of the vaccine funnel that will be coming into Malaysia. And then the third one is Ocean Vantage, the IPO ACE market this morning. They're up by a staggering 77% to 45.5 cents. Oil and gas, by the way, mind you.
Yeah, no less. But, you know, we're entering into the second half of the year and questions, of course, arise as to which direction global markets will take, because most markets have recovered from the lows we saw in March. Now, adding to the confusion, the historical correlation between asset classes appears to have broken down. This, of course, on the back that most asset classes, including gold, have appreciated concurrently. So to help us make sense of this and where to put your money or our money, we speak to Jean Chia, Head of Portfolio Management and Research Office at Bank of Singapore. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jean. Now, Bank of Singapore recommends investing in equal weights on equities and an overweight in emerging market high-yield bonds. What's the basis for this call, and could you also elaborate on both assets?
Hi, good morning, everyone, and it's really lovely to be on the show. Just to look back, perhaps, as you mentioned, onto the first and second half. I mean, we're talking about potentially the tale of two halves. I mean, the first half, we had one of the most dramatic market actions, of course, on the back of the black swan, if you like, event of COVID-19. So in the midst of that risk-off sentiment, I think we saw three key risks at that point. Of course, liquidity risk being a major one that contributed to the very sharp drawdown we saw in March. Economic risk as a result of COVID-19, and of course, the most pressing one being the healthcare risk that still remain today. So with that in mind, we actually looked at our entire risk and return sort of equation. And at that point, actually in February, we already began to pare down risk. And the reason for that was actually valuations and the very looming threat that we saw of the COVID-19 pandemic that was starting, of course, in China at that stage. And as it became more and more global, we were actually relatively light on risk at that point. But as we saw the correction happen, probably closer to March being the bottom, and as we saw some stabilization from the central banks in terms of fiscal and monetary stimulus, we did then go up to neutral risk and then increase our risk budget towards equities as well as fixed income. However, probably in around April to May, we did think that the markets had run up quite hard. And of course, as you rightly pointed out, there was even more momentum subsequent to that. But at that point, valuation had really caused us to bring equity risk down to neutral. But we felt that emerging market high yield still offered us some value versus the investment grade space. And we stay today very selective, no doubt, but overweight on emerging market high yield. So that gives you a little bit of a backdrop in terms of the trajectory of how we have been adjusting our asset allocation decision.
Yeah, Jean, what themes and equities are you particularly interested in and why?
In equities specifically, I mean, I think the previous speaker also spoke to this theme. I think as we head into the second half, there are some very key themes that will shape the next few months, particularly, of course, US-China, the great decoupling, we like to call it. And of course, the race to the White House being the presidential elections will shape also how we see the various sectors. But underpinning that is an unprecedented stimulus. And you did talk about the fiscal cliff and how potentially we'll still get a stimulus from there. And Europe, of course, over the weekend, we saw the 750 billion euro package as well. So that is certainly a backdrop that is very supportive for risky assets in general, low interest rate environment. That also implies that it's a very conducive backdrop for risk assets. So that's the half full part of the equation. But on the half empty part, of course, the risks do remain and loom very large in terms of elections, in terms of US-China relations. And of course, the largest risk of all that we still are in the midst of is the pandemic. But based on WHO numbers, we're still talking about 14.5 million cases. So not trivial at all and could potentially still compromise our economic recovery. So that said, you asked about equities in particular. In the space that we are looking at, we think that the pandemic has actually catalyzed this whole acceleration in work from home, stay at home, and a whole the consumption of data and digitalization, the pace has just picked up. So the sectors that, of course, lend themselves to that would be the technology sector, as well as some of the players on the platform side, such as software as a service players. But we are conscious and cognizant of the valuations as well. And as we head into earnings season, some of these names may be priced for perfection. So we'll be relatively cautious on the valuation side. But structurally, we think there are tailwinds for these sectors. We do think that on a cyclicals and values front, there are selected names as well that still remain very attractive if they were not permanently damaged by the pandemic.
And Jean, very quickly, right? We know U.S. elections are going to be held in what, in 104 days' time. What kind of scenarios are you looking at if, let's say, Biden wins or if Trump wins? Will there be a difference to how markets will react?
Oh, definitely. So I think that's one of the most closely watched events heading out the next couple of months. There's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of noise. Without commenting on the political nature of this, but more in terms of the investment implications, I think the best case scenario for the markets will be a Republican Senate and a Democrat House. That will probably signify a bit of a toning down of US-China rhetoric on the one hand, and on the other hand, also perhaps lower the risk of potential pullback of the corporate tax cuts that Trump have had in place and that has been a tailwind for the U.S. markets for the past couple of years. The equal weight or the sort of neutral scenario is, of course, status quo. And the worst case scenario is a Democrat sweep, because I think that could also point us towards some unwinding of some of the more business-friendly and capital markets-friendly policies that have been in place so far.
All right. Thank you for your time, Jean. That was Jean Chia, Head of Portfolio Management and Research Office at Bank of Singapore, saying she's, I guess, it depends. The glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you want to look at it, which is probably why they have an equal weight, right, between equities and emerging market high yield bonds.
Yeah, I mean, if, as expected, the polls are right. Well, actually not as expected, because polls tend to be wrong. But I think Joe Biden's got a very healthy lead over
15 points.
And I also read that Joe Biden wants to impose a 39.6% corporate tax on capital gains, which is going to kill the share market. So I'm not sure whether he's going to be necessarily good for financial markets or not.
But historically, for the last six US elections, markets don't do well before November. So I guess everyone's watching this space. But very quickly, bringing this back home, yesterday CMMT announced their results, Capital Malaysian Mall Trust. So net profit fell below expectations for the second quarter, 99% down to only 192,000. Net property income fell 61% on year to 19.4 million. Of course, this is due to significant rental waivers and rebates to tenants affected by the various phases of the MCO.
Yeah, malls are doing so much worse than airlines. I know it's not like for like, but I think United Airlines in America reported an 87% drop in revenue, but Capital Malls goes 12 percentage points better at 99%. Out of the 10 analysts that cover the stock, 5 are a sell, 4 are a hold. Just one is a buy, and it's actually JP Morgan, but that was at June, so I'm not sure whether it's changed its mind or not.
Well, this morning, CMMT is 73 cents. Actually, it's up 2 cents, maybe because 90% of its tenants have reopened and resumed normal trading.
But nonetheless, market value is half what it was a year ago.
Yes, for sure. But that's all the corporate news that we have for you this morning. We're heading into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.